sing the same way we just were singing in this room. Wow, I can't believe we're here the Thursday night, the first shir, first chabura after the Hilge Yontif. Vada brought us all back. Now, Chevra, I want to share something that some of you I shared with already. But you have to hear me out. It's something very deep in my heart that I've been thinking about a lot. So this past Sunday, we had the Hilge Yontif of Purim. And obviously, I'm sure for each and every one of us on our own levels, it was very, very special. Those of us who had the schus to be together here. It was Mamish Mein Ol Mahava. Mamish was the Simcha of Yom Kippur. The Simcha of Yom Kippur. I see in my notes when I just noted to talk about what I'm about to talk about at the beginning of the notes for this year. I wrote by accident, but it wasn't by accident. I'm looking now. I didn't even realize it until right now. I wrote Matzei Yud, not Yud, YK, Matzei Yom Kippur. When I meant Matzei Purim, by Mamish, by... So Purim was Mein Olam Haba. Purim was obviously very, very special. We're not going to chazash there right this minute, but... So after the last chaver left, maybe it was about 1:30 in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever time it was. So for a few minutes, I tried to clean up a little bit, even though there was chaver that helped and cleaned up a lot already, but tried to clean up a little bit more so the house was somewhat presentable when J.D. would wake up in the morning and come down and allow us to have Purim next year, hopefully in the Bayis and Yerushalayim Er Kodesh, but... So, with the sign, obviously. And finally I got to bed about 2:30 in the morning. When I got to bed, I fell asleep very quickly. I didn't have big cheshbonos, the MS was. And it was a little bit after 5 o'clock in the morning. Maybe 2.5-3 hours later. And Uriel Nassim Tzvi, our tzaddik, woke up. Now the MS was, I didn't hear him wake up. I was in a very, very deep sleep, obviously. I'm Avin Yavin. And after all the Kiddush of Purim, and trying to give my all. But Shandy woke up, and she opened the door, and I don't know, somehow I woke up also from that. When I woke up, it like hit me, like mamish right in the face, hit me so strongly, that Purim's over. It hit me, I don't know, when I went to sleep, I wasn't thinking like this. I guess I was still, felt it was Purim, you know, but when I woke up wasn't the morning yet, it was whatever time that was, it hit me so strongly, mamish, it's over. What we look forward to all year, mamish, all year, it's over, that's it. And I became very emotional. And Amamish, I was lying in bed, I sat up a little bit, and Amamish started crying. But like real, I'm bawling, like tears streaming down my cheeks. Like I haven't cried in a little bit. And Shandy came back, she looks at me, she comes back from she was with Uriel, who's also seemingly crying, I guess about the same thing. And she looks at me, she's like, what are you crying about? What's going on? She thought, she must have thought something bad happened that I didn't tell her about. You know, maybe someone went through the wall again. I don't know. Scared. And I just say to her, I say, Purim. And she just turned the other way. That was it. I don't know. She really didn't give, she wasn't too empathetic. I don't know. She didn't seem to share my feelings. But I cried for a while, and then Baruch Hashem, I went back to sleep. The Purim's gone. But the MS is in the morning when I woke up, I was thinking about this. And I shared that with you because Eschatai ani maskir yom. Because in the morning when I woke up, I thought, the MS. I was crying because I have so much more to grow and so much more to become. I'm far from where I should be. And there's a story. Let me explain what I mean by that. There's a story Rav Yaakov Galinsky, the great Mashviya Mashgiach. So one time he had a Suda Shabbos Kodesh, and Orchim, he had guests, he always was having guests, and they had this beautiful Suda, and the lights went out. Not like by Rav Yaakov, not on purpose. And the people were a little uncomfortable, there weren't people they were close to, but they had candlelight. So there's a little bit of light. So the halacha is, as long as there's some light, you could be merames to a guy to turn on the lights. But you have to know the halachas. We're not going to get into the halachas now of Amir Lakum, but if they're to be moisif hana in such a way, to add on, since you had light already, just to have more light, you're allowed to be merames. You could hint to a guy to turn on the lights. So there was a guy outside they brought in, and someone says to the guy, oh, one of us dropped a ring, we're looking for the ring, maybe they did it on purpose just so they're not lying, I don't know, chesnesh, whatever happened exactly. We're looking for the ring, someone dropped a ring, thinking that would be good enough. The guy would know what to do. So what does this guy do? What does this non-Jew do? He gets down on the ground and starts looking for the ring as well, in the dark. Shaita. Okay, so they're thinking, what could they do? They want to get the lights on. So somebody, maybe it was, I don't know, if one of the people says, you know, you must be thirsty, you're helping us, maybe we could get you with an ice-cold beer in the fridge, I'm sure you would like it. So, ice-cold beer. He's all excited. But he has to find his way to the kitchen, so he turns on the light to find his way and to find his beer. Suddenly, when it's for himself, he cares enough, he turns on the light. He goes, he finds the beer. Once he finds the beer, he shuts the refrigerator, turns off the light, and that was it. So Rav Yaakov Galinsky said, from here, you can learn two things. Number one, we see by this individual, Lo Aleinu, that all that he cares about is himself and doesn't care about others in the way that he should. When he needed light, when it was important for him, he goes and flips on the light. When he should have been clear, he should have understood that other people need the light, he doesn't turn on the light. But also, he says, we see from here, that by the Umas Olam, when they have moments of light, it's just for the moment. But then the light turns out. He says, by us it has to be when we're enlightened. When we have Hesiris, it's not just for the moment. That light should be with us and we should carry with us and there should be a lingering taste and we should be carrying Purim with us into the year. So Ebesus, that's what I'm saying. I was crying because unfortunately I'm not there yet, obviously. And if I really understood and each and every one of us really understood that Purim is not for Purim, but Purim is for the entire year, there's no sadness. Yes, Shkoyach, we could talk about and have a fun time talking about the stories and the Chizuk of Purim, but ultimately, it's not sad, it's not Atzvos, it's not, oh man, a whole year till Purim. It's Baruch Hashem, I went through a Purim that I grew, that I was inspired, and now I'm a different person, I'm carrying all the Chizuk of Purim with me. Allah is Megillah Tzarech Sirtut. A Megillah, just like a Sefer Torah, what does it need? Sirtut. You know what Sirtut means? It means that the lines where the Megillah is written have to be etched into the Megillah. So to the chizik of Purim has to be etched into us. It can't just be something that's easily erased. When something's etched in, it becomes part and parcel of the individual, of the entity, of the klaf, of us. Purim should be etched on our hearts. We should be still living Purim. We should be still so inspired by Purim. The ikar of Purim is not Purim. The ikar of Purim is after Purim. The Halakha of Bezavrim, he once had a chassid that came to him on Purim, Mamish, crying tears of tshuva. And wanting to know how to mechazik himself, how to grow. And the Beis Avram looks at him and says, I want to see you tomorrow. Come to me tomorrow. In other words, it's not about what you're feeling on Purim. It's about what you're feeling the next day. So what do we carry away from Purim? Oh, we start living with Purim. And we have to be living with Purim. We're still in Adar Baruch Shem. Yishnechus Adar Mar B'Simcha. It's not just for Purim. It's for the whole Adar Vad. It's for Nisan as well. Ayin Rashi and Tainus Chavtas. And for the entire year, Ayin the Halakha Torah of Menachem Mendel of Kotzk. It has to be the Simcha of Purim has to continue, you know. Today was Yud Ches Adar, Chai Adar. So I always think about, I'm sure it's a story I shared with some of you before. Chizik I got, well, not the Kotel story, Ariel. Chizik, today's my daughter's birthday, her Hebrew birthday, Eliora Malka. Malka was after Malka Esther, she was born a few days after Purim.
Kiddush
Vada. So, if you want to eat a fish. So she was born in Methodist Hospital in Brooklyn. Back then, my wife was using, had a few children Methodist. And So she was born, it was a night birth, and I was with my wife for a few hours afterwards, obviously. And it was very late, it was probably 1 o'clock in the morning. And I was driving home. Just left my, everything was good, and left my wife to come home. And I was driving home. The way you drive from Methodist hospitals in Park Slope, Brooklyn, and the way to get here is you drive Mamish right down Eastern Parkway. So Mamish right past 770. So I didn't daven Ma'ariv yet. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. So I say, I got to go daven Ma'ariv. Where are we going to daven Ma'ariv? Baruch Hashem, you have 770 in the Minyan Factory, 1 o'clock in the morning. So I stop and I go into 770, and of course I was zoichet to daven Ma'ariv. But then while I'm davening Ma'ariv, this mamish singing and dancing, and mamish, the whole entire guys on the flutes, singing away, you know, right by the, in front of the Aron over there, with the circle, maybe 50, 60 chassidim singing, dancing. So I go, of course, after I finish Ma'ariv, what's a yid going to do when yidin are singing and dancing? I go and join them, of course. And I'm there, and we're singing and dancing, and I turn to one of the chassidim and say, what are we dancing about? So he looks at me, what do you mean? Chayadr! Chayadr! So I said, oh, gewalt, Chayadr. The first time I realized what the Hebrew birthday of my daughter was, Chayadr. I thought, oh, Chayadr, I never thought of that before. Chay, Yud Ches is obviously school edik number and day for Yiddishkeit and Adr. What bigger day? Very special. Then they're dancing by Chabad, very beautiful. I never heard of such a minhag, but I was danced a few more minutes. Eventually, I went back home. The next day, obviously, I'm with my wife again, and that night, I was there till late, not as late, probably, and I was leaving, and I'm going to daven Ma'ariv. Where am I going to daven Ma'ariv again? Pass right by Chabad. So I go in, and I chop a Ma'ariv, and again, they're singing, they're dancing, so of course I go join. And I turn to one of the Hasidim, no, what are we dancing about tonight? He says, what do you mean, Yutas Adar? Yutas Adar. And I realize, I've never been back a night of Adar. Maybe we should go tonight, Taka, just to see, maybe we should go. That apparently, in 770, every single night of Adar, they're singing and dancing. It doesn't end with Purim, and Purim's only the beginning. And that's what it has to be for every single one of us. And therefore, we're mechazik each other, and we're besimcha, and we're not sad that Purim was, and we passed us by, and it's over. And we have to take the chizik of Purim and live with the chizik of Purim. So what's the chizik of Purim? What's the lingering taste of Purim? What was the lingering taste of Klal Yisrael by the story of Purim? What did they end with? They ended with kimu v'kiblu kimu mashikiblu kfar. They ended with nocha kabbalas ha-Torah. That they were makabal the Torah anew, with a new inspiration, a new excitement. And that's how we have to be as well. Chas v'shom lo'aleinu, like so many makomos, that after Purim is the least learning that goes on. It's so flipped. That's the Eitz Hara, that's the Satan, understanding how important these days are. So in certain yeshivas, in certain makomos, post-Purim is the least learning goes on, and the most atzlus. And then already Rosh Chodesh Nisan, you don't learn for a month. Chas v'shom lo'aleinu. It should be the biggest man these days in learning. The chizik of Purim, kimu asher kiblu kvar. Kabbalah Satorah. So let's understand this Kabbalah Satorah. Let's understand the depth of it. Mamish, I'm so excited to share this. This is Torah. Because we'll understand also how we're going to enter in. Because Vada, also we always say we have to live with the Parshas, the Rebbe Zatzal taught us. So obviously there has to be chizik from Parshas Kisisa in telling us what this Kabbalah Satorah was. And what the chizik of Purim is for each and every one of us. What we should walk away from Purim with. What is this Kabbalah Satorah all about? What is this new Kabbalah Satorah? We're in the Kabbalah Torah already at our Sinai. What is it all about? So we enter into Parshas Kisisa, and it's a little bit strange. If you look at Parshas Kisisa on the surface, though I don't know how many of us were Ma'ariv Sedra yet, it was a week that was a busy week in a lot of ways. There was a lot of going on between Shushan Purim, snow day, obviously snow day, you can't learn on a snow day, right? But even if we're a Ma'ariv Sedra, Kisisa, we know right away what Parshas Kisisa? Chet Egel. It's a little bit strange. We leave Purim and Kimu Mashiach Kibbul Kvar, what do we enter into? Chet Egel. What we're suffering from until today. Shviras HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos. Seems like complete opposite of what we're talking about. Seems like Churban. But the emes is ultimately in that parish as well, we gain kapara, we gain atonement. And in the parish as well, we have psolacha, we have the making of the second luchos. And on the surface, but still, the second luchos seemed worse than the first luchos. Second luchos were made by Moshe Rabbeinu, not by the Eibishter. Second luchos didn't have the nisim of the first luchos. But is that true? Were the second luchos really worse than the first luchos? I wanted tonight to analyze the difference between the two luchos. Mamish come out with a chiddush she'en kamo from the Hilga Beis Alevi. So listen closely, Chavar. We're going to learn together. Mamish, this is a Torah that Mamish has to be etched on our hearts, and you'll understand what that means in a few moments. So this is the Yalkut Shimoni. The Yalkut Shimoni, all of you have heard some version of this Yalkut Shimoni, but it's a little different than the way we know it, and it's a little soyser some other chazals, but we're going to work with it, the way the Beis Halevi worked with it. So Yalkut Shimoni is a medrash. The Yalkut Shimoni says as follows. That by Chet Egel, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with the Luchos, and listen to the words, Nistakil Moshe Beluchos, Moshe was staring at the Luchos, V'ra Haksav Shebem Sheporeach, and he saw what was written on them flew away. Remember, the letters are flying away. Right? The letters are flying. Oh, I know that's what you're thinking about, Ariel, for sure. Right? The letters are flying. V'kvedo, and the Luchos suddenly become very heavy. We'll have to understand what this means. But because the letters left, the Luchos become very heavy. Al Yidei Moshe, on the hands of Moshe. V'naflu miyadav v'nishtabru. And they fall from his hands and they broke. A little bit differently than what we're used to, right? Everyone learns Moshe, the scene, we taught this already in nursery school. And there are chazals like this. It seems like it's a little bit of a machloikas, exactly how it went down. But the Yalkut Shimoni, I'm reading it to you inside, you can look at it, is that the Luchos became very heavy and they fell out of the hands of Moshe. He could no longer hold them, they were too heavy for him. Not that he took them and smashed them. So we have to understand what this means. First of all, what was this symbolism of the letters flying away? What was going on? And why, when the letters flew away, did the Luchos become heavy? Seems like Hashem caused them to break, not Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's understand. So the Yerushalmi and Shkolim. The Yerushalmi and Shkolim says something amazing. If you never heard this before, Mamish, incredible. He says there was a very big difference between the first, well, he's talking about the first Luchos, but based on this we can understand something very different about the second Luchos. He says in the first Luchos, it's Daf Chaf Heyam and Aleph on the bottom of Shkolim, Rabbi Shua Omer, Rabbi Shua says, Bein kol diver v'diver diktu kavos yosel shel Torah. That where you had that, you had the Aseret HaDibros, but not just the words as we read them in Parshas Yisro and Beschana and Noich Hashem Elkecha Shetzichem Eretzrayim VaYilcha LeMechirim. In between the letters, in between the words, Bein Kol Diber VeDiber, in between the different Aseret HaDibros. So you had a Noichi Hashem Elkecha Shetzichem Eretzrayim, and then you have Dukav Yos Yosel Shel Torah. You had all of the Pirish, all the commentary of the Torah written into the Luchos. What is that referring to? The way the Beis Halevi explains, that's all the Torah Shal Peh Sheba. All the Torah Shal Peh, all that has to be taken out and extrapolated on the Torah Shal Miksav was actually written into the Luchos of the first Luchos. Meaning what, Chevra? Meaning what? The way the Beis Halevi explains this to Yerushalmi is that when we had the first Luchos, prior to Chet Egel, there was no concept yet of Torah Shal Peh. What we call Torah Shel Peh was all biksav. Was all actually written. It's very important. And listen closely. We're going to understand something. Mamish is very special. So prior to Chet Egel, there was no Torah Shel Peh. Everything's with Torah Shel Biksav. Which obviously made it a lot easier. Easier to handle. Easier to understand. The Beis Halevi explains. Listen closely, Mamish. And he has such an unbelievable diak. Beis Halevi explains, what does it mean then that letters flew away? What does that Yalkut Shimoni mean? That letters flew away. The letters flew away. Not like we thought. And we've all heard that before, that medrash, that the letters flew away. It doesn't mean all the letters of the Luchos flew away. You know what letters flew away? The letters of Torah Shel Peh Sheba. The letters of the Pirish, of the explanation, of the commentary. All of that flew away. All of that no longer did we belong written into the Luchos Rishon, into the Luchos. That all was gone. In other words, at that very moment, Hashem, in a certain sense, created the concept of Torah Shel Peh. This no longer is going to be Torah Shel Miksav. And by the way, he reads it so beautifully into the Pasuk. Listen to the Pasuk in Chamishi of this week's Parsha. Vayomra Hashem HaMoshe, Hashem says to Moshe, P'sol l'cha shnei luchos avenim k'rishonim. You should create, you should carve two luchos like the first ones. Seems to be like exactly like the first ones, right? But no, listen closely. The kesafti luchos, and you should write on to the luchos, es atzvarim asher luchos arishonim, the words that were on the first luchos, asher shibarta, that you broke. Which words are extra there? Asher shibarta. You just, obviously, that you broke. Shkoyach, what's what? Hashem is reminding Moshe. So Rashi here says he was showing that he was masking to what he did. Go working with the other Chazal, so Moshe broke it. But working with the Chazal that we just read in the Yalkut Shemayni, maybe you could, the Beis HaLevi reads it so beautifully. He says that what Hashem was saying to Moshe, rewrite the letters, but only the part that ended up breaking. Meaning what? Because the letters of what will become Torah Shemapa flew away already. The letters of Anoich Hashem Elkecha Shezichem Mitzrayim, those stood on the luchos, and that's what broke. So rewrite the part Asher Shibarta. Rewrite just the part that was on the luchos when they broke. The part that flew away, I don't want that rewritten. Only write Ahayu Es Advar Mesher Ahayu Elkecha Shem Asher Shibarta. You hear this, Chevra? So when Moshe Rabbeinu was going and writing the second luchos, suddenly there's a creation of Torah Shabbat Peh. All that we learned, that's Torah Shabbat Peh, when we learn in Shtaig, Mesechus Ksuvah, Mesechus Babasar, originally that was Mamish written Torah. What created that it's oral Torah was the Chet HaEgel and the writing of the second luchos. Now what else do we know about the second luchos, which is amazing? There's a famous Gemara in Gittin, it's also a Medrash on Chumah, that we're going to see later in Parshas Noach. Daf Samach HaMebeis. Amar Rav Yoichanan. Lo Karas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bris Im Yisrael, Ela B'Shvil Tzvarim Shabbat Peh. The whole Bris, the covenant, the connection, the deep connection that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on Torah Shabbat Peh. Shenemar is written, Ki Al Pi HaDvarim Ela Karas Yivcha Bris. With these words, which was only that pasuk is by the second luchos already. That's after the creation of the second luchos. The second luchos, when there's Torah Shabbat Peh, that's when suddenly now we have a bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to understand why. Meaning when we only had Torah, in other words, if it would have been just the first luchos, it would have been lacking some connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that's created through Torah Shabbat Peh. So we're going to have to understand this, Mamish, something very special, but first let's go back for a moment. So now the letters of that became Torah Shabbat Peh went away, so why suddenly did the luchos get heavy? Shkoyach, you have the same stones that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding, with still the letters that were going to be written on the second luchos that he obviously was able to hold. Because that was still in between. Those letters flew away, and there was no Torah Shabbat Peh yet that was given over to Moshe as Torah Shabbat Peh. I mean, those letters were lost at that point. So listen to the way Beis HaLevi says it. At that point, what you had was a Torah Shebiksav, B'li Pirish, B'li a concept of Torah Shebal Peh for those moments. And what happens when you have a Torah Shebiksav, B'li Torah Shebal Peh? Mishum Hachi, I'm going to read you the words of Beis HaLevi. Kvedo al Yadosh Moshe. It became so heavy. Ki a Torah Shebiksav B'lo HaBal Peh. When you have Torah Shebiksav, you have Chumash, you have Tanakh, and you don't have Torah Shebal Peh, you don't have Ksuvis, you don't have Kedushin, you don't have Baba Basra. He after Leo's Bishamoifin. If you have nothing. To be Mefarish Vadumau Tfilin. How you know what Tfilin are? The Hayul Totavos Beinanech. What are they? Beli Torah Shabbat Peh. What are they? Veich Din Ksivasim. How do you write them? Veich Osim Tzitzis. How do you make Tzitzis? You could reopen up a Parish of Ayomer and know how to make Tzitzis? How you know how to make Tzitzis? What are Tzitzis? Umal priyat hadar. What's this beautiful fruit we're supposed to take on Sukkot? Chesnish, maybe it's an apple. You can find a very beautiful apple, a juicy apple, a red apple. Apple cider. Ubechol mitzvah, rabu apratim vadinim. Every mitzvah has so many details. How many laws? Vasveikas shalom no dosam. And you have all doubts that you don't know, that are unclear. Rakalei de Torah Shabbat Peh. How do we clarify Torah Shabbat Peh? Believe Torah Shabbat Peh, we have nothing, so it becomes so heavy. It's not just a physical heaviness. It's an emotional and psychological heaviness. I can't bear this. What am I going to do with Torah Shabbat Peh? By the way, the same is true with one who's not steiging in Torah Shebaal Peh. When you're not living your life connected to Torah Shebaal Peh, you're not living your life connected to Torah, you end up with nothing. And we're going to explain this tonight. Just like you have no mitzvahs, you have no deep connection to the Eibishter, which we're going to explain. And that's what the basically is saying. Torah becomes heavy, b'li Torah Shebaal Peh. Life, Yiddishkeit, becomes heavy. It has no explanation, it has no understanding. Because how do I ever ultimately understand the world? This crazy world we live in, the tragedies that we live with. We're sitting at this table, Chabura, Zichron, Binyamin, Pinchas, Ben Yoel Baruch, Shama Shadav and Aliyah. How do you explain such a tragedy? It's possible to explain such a tragedy. Someone who suffered so much in such a short lifetime. Abruat, when you really are connected to Hashem, and you're really connected to the Eibishter running the world, and Komad Avrachman on top of it, how you really, and if you really, so then you can move on and you can say Baruch Dynamis for real. Who could say Baruch Dynamis for real? Only one who's connected to Torah Shebaal Peh and understands their intricacies and their details, and there's an Eibishter that's running the world, and there's a blueprint of the world called Torah. But you have to really be connected to it to live such a life. Otherwise, life is atzvus, believe Torah Shebaal Peh. It's very heavy. It's mamish very heavy. You hear, Chavra? And that's why, obviously, the bris is Torah Shebaal Peh, the covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, why did this all change? Why did this all change? Meaning, but Lemaisa, the first Luchos, seems that we didn't need this. First Luchos, we didn't have Torah Shebaal Peh. It was all written in it, we're saying. So the Gemara in Erevin, Nandalad and Aleph, the Gemara in Erevin says that by the first Luchos, if there wasn't Chayda Egel, Ein Ko'uma V'Lashon Sholtos Behen, no other nation would ever rule over us. There would never have been Golus. We would have reached the level of basically Adam Rishon Kodim L'Chayt, which the Nevi Chaim says we did at Har Sinai. And life would have been Zehu, would have been Zvam Mashiach already. There would be no such concept of Golus. There would have been no Golus. So this deep connection that's being built, this bris that's being built from Torah Shebaal Peh, would have been unnecessary. Listen to the words of the Medrash. Listen to how the Medrash says it. The Medrash says, I'll read you. Listen to the Medrash, it's in this week's parsha, Mem Zayin Aleph. B'shah shenigla HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Sinai Lita and Torah Yisrael. Amr l'Moshe, I'll say the Mikra, Mishnah, Talmud, Vagada. HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught it all to Moshe Rabbeinu. V'edaber l'kim es kol hadvar meila. Even a question you ask your Rebbe. Bizmana that now. You're in Shir this week and you ask your Rebbe a question. It was taught, that question that you asked was taught to Moshe Rabbeinu in Shemayim by the Eibishter. What a schus. What a schus. And if the question, Vad, if you come up with a chiddush, it's all taught. We spoke about this a few weeks ago recently. And after HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us Moshe, he said, now you have to teach it all to us. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, should I write it all down? When it came, just like in the Luchos Rishonim, and they were written down, should I write it all down? Should it all be written? I don't want it to be written down anymore. Because based on Chet Egel, we're going to be in Galus. There'll be other nations that are ruling over us. Velita also, and they're going to take the Torah from us, like Talmei HaMelech did by Torah Shebaksav. They're able to take the Torah. And it will be defiled by the other nations. So I want there to be Torah Shebaal Peh. They could have Tanakh, but I want there to be a Mishnah. I want there to be a Gemara. I want there to be a Midrash. That could only be with myself and those and my children. And no one could ever take, because it's an oral Torah. It's a Mesorah. Listen to that line. And now that we have Torah Shebaal Peh, that's the source of being able to be Mavdil from the Goyim. Medrash says. Medrash Rabbah. I'm not reading some Chassidish Sefer telling us big Musar here. Medrash Rabbah. Yemavohu umas ol mishtab them, like we have today. And don't think in America we're not in Galus. We're in Galus. We're in exile. And because we don't have a government that's telling us I can't serve God, and because there's not anti-Semitism like there is in other parts of the world, or there was in the whole world in the 1940s, Doesn't mean we're not in Golis. Look around, look at Yidden. Look how many Yidden are so far from the Eibishter. And the society we live in, the things people allow their eyes to look at, and how mamish, how strong the taivas are, and the pressure of society and culture is so strong, it's Golis. How am I going to be mavdil? One way, if the umus comes to me, you move dalim from Torah Shabbat Peh. That's the only way. Only through Torah Shabbat Peh. Because why? Why only through Torah Shabbat Peh? Why only through Torah Shabbat Peh? So we already said, based on Levi, because Torah Shabbat Peh. Torah Shabbat Peh explains to us the Torah, but also Torah Shabbat Peh, in the deepest way, gives us a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a connection and insight and understanding in the world, but it's even one step further than that. Listen to the words of the Heilig Beis HaLevi. And this is the piece, these words I mamish have been yearning since I learned this a couple nights ago. I couldn't wait to give this over. Listen to the words of the Heilig Beis HaLevi, what it is when we learn Torah Shabbat Peh, and why the importance of learning Torah Shabbat Peh. And mamish, that has to be the Kimu Mashi Kiblu Kvar. Listen to the words, mamish. You ready? Listen to every word. And through the second luchos, which we were finally given Torah Shabbat Peh, nis'alu bo Yisrael ma'ala gedol yoser. Every member of Klal Yisrael was lifted up on a higher plateau than ever before. Imagine, this only came to being because Chet Egel, but these are words of Beis HaLevi. Remember, I'm reading from the Beis HaLevi. The Salvechik world, okay? This is not the Hasidic world here. It's important to note where we're reading from, to understand the chizik of this. It's not just somebody trying to fluff it over and make everything good. Not that that's not what I think of the Hasidic world anyway, but there's a bigger chizik to take when you understand where this is coming from. This is a ma'ala gedol yoser. On a certain level, obviously it's a lower luchos, but on a certain level, b'makom shebaal ha'tshuva omdan afil tzadik in gumur yef shelamod. This is a tshuva dik luchos, right? This was the kapara. This was the luchos of what? Of Yom Kippur. This is the luchos of Yom Kippur. Yoim shenit l'baluch ha'shnios. So the Beis HaLevi says it was ma'ala gedol yoser. How so? Listen closely. These words, it's incredible. I'm actually learned this and I can't stop thinking about it. To me, kodem the chol ha'torah ha'yoram was ba'luchos. Prior, when all of Torah was already written into the luchos, there was no such concept of Torah Shabbat. Ha'yu Yisrael va'torah shnei in yonim. You had Bnei Yisrael and you had the Torah, which were two separate entities. The Yisrael him a makayimim la Torah, v'shomrim so. We had to fulfill the Torah, we had to watch it. V'ayel bizchinas kli shemunach bo haTorah. We were basically going to be like the Aron that the Torah goes in. So we learn it, we connect to it. Yikmo Aron haKodesh shemunach bo haSefer Torah. We would be acting like the Aron of the Torah. V'utashmisha k'dusha. What's an Aron? Tashmisha k'dusha. Tashmisha Kedusha, it goes and it's Tashmish of the Kedusha, it serves the Kedusha. Aval Acher Kach, but afterwards, Dinitan Lema Torah Shabbat Peh, afterwards, where we were giving Torah Shabbat Peh, Nimsad Yisrael Heim Bebchinas Klaf Shal Torah Shabbat Peh, each and every one of us, we become the parchment of the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Torah Shabbat Peh, where's the parchment? Where's the klaf? It's our hearts, it's our souls, it's our mind, it's us. K'mamer kosvam, kosvam al luach libecha. You have to write it on the luach libecha. K'mosha klaf shel sefer Torah, hu etzem hakdusha v'lo tashmish. When you have the klaf of the Torah, the words are the black, or the writing. When you have the klaf, the parchment, that's mamish the Torah itself. It's not just the tashmish, that is the Torah. That klaf v'aksav shekosubo, the klaf and the writing on it, in the ink, shneim b'yachareim sefer Torah. That's what makes a sefer Torah. K'mo kein ha'Torah v'Yisrael kula chadhu. So too the Torah and Bnei Yisrael is one. Now that we have Torah Shabbat Peh, which we didn't have in the first luchos, we can mamish not just be someone who learns Torah and is an aron for the Torah, but mamish become one with Torah, which then is one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because Torah is all, kol haTorah kula is Shem Hashem, the Shem is the essence, right? That's what we learn out from Birchas Torah Minayin. Where do we learn Birchas Torah Minayin? What's Gemara say? What's Merigo? Who knows? What's the Pasuk? No. Shem Hashem Ekra, Havogol Elokeinu. When I call out the name of Hashem, I have to bring greatness to the name. And Marsha there explained that the whole Torah is the name of Hashem, and the name is the essence. So the whole Torah is Hashem. And now that I have Torah Shalapeh, I could be on a higher level than ever before, because I could become one with Torah Yisrael, which you bring to Verai Tzachari. Ah, you hear this, Chevra? You hear this, Chevra? And that's what we reach after the Luchos Shnios. It's much harder now, but Lufum Saragra. It takes tremendous amelus. Torah Balpeh is much harder. Open a pasuk chumish and read it inside and translate and know what's going on. Shkoyach. To open up Bechvesnish to, I don't know, you know, you open up Merubah and learn through Merubah and really be steiging and holding in Merubah. It's hard. It's tough. But that's how you really connect to something. And basically, it's much more difficult to read it. It takes a lot of yigia. He says a little bit more. And that's why now it's mitoch hatzchak, mitoch tir vadas. It takes a lot tzar, v'yigia gedola. But then we could accomplish levels, we could accomplish greatness in our connection to Torah and our connection to Hashem that we could never have before. And this is the bris that the Gemara in Gittin was talking about. This is that ultimate bris with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we didn't even have before. And this is the Kimum Mashikib L'Kvar. This is the reconnection to Torah, that I want to be so one with Torah that I can't stray. I can't stray from Torah, I can't stray from Hashem in any way, which was possible prior, especially Ben HaUmos. I think it's mamish, what we're saying. This Beis HaLevi, I want to tell you. This Beis HaLevi is what we're supposed, this is why we have Pashas Kisisa this week. And this is the chizuk we're supposed to take out of Purim, the Halev Yantav of Purim. And let me give you Raya Gemura. It came to me, mamish, as I'm learning this Beis HaLevi, it's mamish, this Beis HaLevi is one with the Medrash Tanchuma in Noyach Ois Gimel. And the Medrash Tanchuma in Noyach Ois Gimel, but listen, mamish, if you follow this, mamish, Mein Olam Haba, where we're going to go. So the Medrash there talks about the godless of Torah Shebaal Peh and says that Mi Sheyavakish Oneg Olam Taiv the Kavod Gedula B'Olam Hazeh is never going to connect to Torah Shebaal Peh. If you want luxuries in life and you're running after money and you're running after taivas, it can't be. Why? Because it takes a lot of yigin. It takes a lot of effort. Mi Shemeimetz Atzmoleh Zos Torah Adam Kiyam Azula. It's only someone who's willing to kill himself over it. They put in tremendous amelus. Like we quoted, right? That's why the bris is here, because it shows that we're going to have sweat and blood over it. And it shows that we're going to want to be one with Hashem, and then we actually become one with Hashem, like the Beit HaLevi explains, through Torah Shebaal Peh. She kasha lilmud. But then, I won't read you inside for the sake of time, but then Medrash Tanchuma goes in and says as follows, that this Torah Shebaal Peh was the Torah Shebaal Peh that is the Torah that's being spoken about in the Gemara and Shabbos Peches that we're quoting tonight. Meaning what? Famous Gemara Shabbos Peches, which I'm alluding to, Kimu Mashiach Kibul Kvar, starts off as follows. We stood at our Sinai and we've quoted this so many times. Listen, Chevra. We quoted this so many times, Kafalim Harkigigas, that we held a mountain on top of us and said, if Atem Mekabim Torah Mutavim Lavsham Tik Veraschem, that either accept the Torah or that's it. And then the Gemara goes on, Mikan Modor Rabbul Araisa. So we could complain, we could say, we were forced, I don't want to keep the Torah. We re-accepted Achashverosh. Comes Medrash Tanchuma and says, what Torah is that talking about? Listen to this, Mamish brings this up. What Torah is that talking about? It's talking about, it's not talking about Torah Shmiksav. Torah Shmiksav, we already said Nasav Nishmon. The written Torah is not what that Gemara is talking about. The written Torah, we already said Nasav Nishmon. We wanted that right away. We didn't need to be forced to that, because the written Torah is easy. The written Torah is all enjoyment. You know what that Gemara is talking about? Medrash Tanchuma is Gimel right here. It says talking about only Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh is very difficult. Torah Shebaal Peh is Tzar. Torah Shebaal Peh is Yigiyah. That already I needed to be forced originally to keep. And we re-accepted our own by Purim. In other words, what? The whole Torah Shebaal Peh, which was created in this week's Parsha, to create that deep relationship with Hashem. When did we really accept it for the first time? Purim. That same Torah Shebaal Peh. And now we have such a connection, mamish, kimu mashikibul kvar, that's what we walk away from Purim. We walk away from Purim, we walk into Parshas Kisisa, and say that second luchos that we created upper, even though it happened through a negative cheta egel, but that's the luchos I want to be connected to, because I want that Torah Shabbat Peh, and I want to reconnect to that Torah Shabbat Peh. And after all the inspiration of being one with Hashem Purim, and feeling close to Hashem Purim, because that's the feeling, let's be real. If you didn't feel that, you didn't have Purim. If Purim was just a day of hoilulas, and Purim was a day of dancing and singing and drinking, but you didn't feel a deep, deep, deep connection to Hashem, you didn't have Purim. The whole avoid of Purim was to feel close to Hashem. Through everything that went on, through the dancing, through the Torah, through the singing, through the drinking, through whatever went on, it was to feel close to Hashem in the deepest of ways, in a very real way. So then you walk away from Purim and say, that's what I want. I want to be one with Hashem. I want to be one with Hashem in that way. So how could I be one with Hashem? Kimu Meshi Kibul Kvar, a reacceptance of Torah Shabbat Peh, because Torah Shabbat Peh, I'm the cloth and I become one with Hashem. That's the only way for real. Otherwise, it's just an inspiration for the moment. Otherwise, it's only on the outside. Shkoyach. I'll do it again next year. Nisht. Then they're just having a good time. The guys that could go to parties and also have a good time. There's an individual telling me they're going to Chvesnisht to Florida next week. There's some big music festival. They're going to be jumping up and down and all around and doing all these things. Hashem Yirachem and the Neshamas, we're going to have to start davening today that they come out, that the Neshama still isn't left there. But they could also have a good time over there. Oh, but you're going to feel close to Hashem over there? You're going to feel so far from Hashem. It's going to be all guf, all gashmi. For some people, Purim's also guf and gashmi. That's all it is, and it's left. And Haveraya, they're the same, if you're the same person afterwards. If you're the same person afterwards. But when you feel, if you really felt Purim and you lived, and you felt deeply close to Hashem and Purim, you say, I want this always. There's one way. A deep kesher to Torah Shabbat Peh. A melech betorah. I'm going to put in time. And each and every one is that could be on a different level. Depends on what's going on in their life. Some people it's 5-6 hours a day. Some people it's 10 hours a day. Sometimes it's 1 hour a day. But that 1 hour is a deep, real learning Torah Shabbat Peh. Not a chvesnish that I glance through an art school gemara. That's not going to be, halavai, some people, I guess that's better than nothing, vada, but that's not going to plug and to become one with the Torah like we're talking about. It takes amelus, it takes your gear. It takes effort for whatever time that we have in that, but we have to work hard in our learning. I become one with the Torah, then I'm one with Hashem always. And that's what we walk away, Kimo Meshi Kibul Kfar, that deep connection to Torah Shabbat Peh. You know, there was a chassid, Rav Shmuel Monkus. He was a famous Chabad chassid. You heard this Torah? Ma'am Shas Beis Halevi. So this Chabad Chassid, Rav Shmuel Monkus, and he wanted to go to Hadish, to the Heilige Baal HaTanya, to visit the Baal HaTanya. Halavai, I had this chus to be there once in my life. I'll never forget it for my entire life. Until we're dancing with the Baal HaTanya, Bekarov Bez Hashem. It was an amazing time. I'm sure I told some of the chevra that story, how it went down. You know, on that trip that we went on years ago to Ukraine and then to Eretz Yisrael for Lag BaOmer. So we went and we left here on a Sunday. Sunday night we didn't sleep. Monday night we didn't sleep. All just driving through night to the Baal Shem, to Yaakov Yosef, to the Rav Zusha, to the Magid. Incredible. Life-altering. Tuesday night, finally, after two nights, the first night we had, if you could call it, some sort of living accommodations in Uman. Maybe took a nap. Wednesday night was going to be the first night we were supposed to stay in a hotel, mamish. It was our last night in Ukraine. Then we were Thursday morning going to Eretz Yisrael to be there for Thursday night was Lag BaOmer, Shabbos and Tzvat, leaving Sunday. So Thursday night we weren't going to sleep again. So Wednesday night, fine, you need one night to sleep finally in a week. I guess you need once a week to sleep. So we're supposed to sleep, but we didn't get to the Baal HaTanya yet. Very few Yidden get to the Baal HaTanya. If you talk to Yidden who go to Uman every year, if they'll visit Mezvish and Barditchev, ask them if they've ever been to the Baal HaTanya. Very few, because Baal HaTanya, to get to the Baal HaTanya, it's 4 hours from Kiev, nobody else on the way. You go all the way there just to be Baal HaTanya and go back. You know, be kielu, like getting in a car right now and driving to Chvestish, to Washington, D.C., to visit one kever. That's what it's like. But I remember, how could I be in Ukraine and not go to the Baal HaTanya? It's myself and it's 17, myself or Brazil, 17 high school guys. You know, they don't even know who the Baltani is, but there was, but they'll appreciate it later, I knew. So I remember this like it was yesterday. We had that night, Wednesday night, first we had this, we were by this orphanage with Yidden that we were singing and dancing with, and
shirts.
Oh yeah, we gave them, we had the hockey champion shirts. We lost the hockey championship, but we had shirts made up already. So we brought them all there and gave it out to them. So if you ever see someone walking around with our hockey shirt from that year, championship, you know it's a Ukrainian, you know? And it was about 1 o'clock in the morning. Again, we haven't slept in a real muckum in 3-4 nights already. Our flight's already like 10 o'clock the next morning. We're in Kiev. But we chejben, we could go all the way to Baal Tanya, 4 hours, get there for Vasikin, daven Vasikin, and drive all the way back and make the flight. But that meant another night, obviously, not sleeping. So, discussing with Brazil, and he's like, he also wanted to, but, you know, he has his head on his shoulders a little bit more than me. So he's like, maybe it's abusive already to the kids. So he said, okay, well, I said, you know what, we're a democracy, we'll have a vote. So I got on the bus, and I said to the whole chevra, I said, listen, we could go to this hotel, we already paid for it, we go to a hotel and sleep for 6-7 hours, rest up, we're going to be up all night the next night, Lag BaOmer. We haven't slept in a few nights. Or we could drive now to the Hadaj. We could daven Vasikin by the Baal Tanya. I said, let me tell you something. I can tell you one thing. Achar Mei Aves, we go up to Shemayim. If we do this, whatever we do in this world, Halavai should be a lot of good things, but whatever we do, after 120 years, I'll tell you something, you could have my guarantee, the Baal Tanya will be by your side. If we go all the way to Baal Tanya, he'll be by your side. So out of 17 guys, I think 15 said, let's go. And we were there. It was a mamish main on Haba. Anyway, so this Rav Shmuel Monk is also, it's hard to get to the Baal Tanya.
They're probably just sitting.
It's hard to get to the Baal Tanya.
We almost went this year. So we.
So it's hard. I remember that too. So he wanted to get to Baal Tanya. So he finally found someone that was traveling. It was a far travel. And he was taking his wagon to the Baal Tanya, horse and wagon. But there was no room inside the little buggy. But he told him he was traveling and to sell maybe and had barrels of wine in the back. He said, if you want, you could stay with the barrels of wine. It wasn't covered. It would be a little bit cold, but you could come and travel. So Rav Shmuel Monk is Vada, Monsieur Snefesh, and he goes. But after one day, it's mamish, it's freezing. He's freezing. He's mamish frigid, but no. So he says to the driver, listen, I'm freezing. What am I supposed to do? Could I have at least a little wine? It will warm me up a little bit. So he opens one of the barrels to give him a little wine. Mamash warms him up, gave him enough kayach, gets to the Baal Tanya. He gives a shalom aleichem, spends maybe a couple minutes with him, and the chas says, okay, I'm going back now. So Baal Tanya looks at him. When people used to come to see the Baal Tanya, such a long journey, chas, stay for a week, stay for a Shabbos, stay for a tefillah. We spent a couple minutes together, what's going on? So he says to the Rebbe, you know, I was on this long journey here, and I was freezing cold. Mamish freezing cold. And I was surrounded by wine. Mamish was everywhere, but I was still freezing cold. And it wasn't until I drank some wine, and the wine went inside, that finally it warmed me up, and I had a tzlach and a Yeshua. He says, I know I come to the Rebbe and Mamish, amazing chizik, but that's chitzainistic chizik. I come and I need that. I need that to give me the chizik, and it was amazing just to see the Rebbe. But MS Dick, now that's the service, now I got to go home and plug, and I got to sit and learn, and I got to daven, and I got to put in the amelis. That's what the chassid said. So too is each and every one of us. We went through a Heilig Purim. And we were inspired, and we had the chizik. We felt that connection to Hashem. But all of that chizik in the service was, so now we could be amal b'tar shvapah. Now we could develop that deep relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that the Beis Halevi is telling us can be forged in the deepest of ways, the chizik of the second luchos. Halavai, we should be zoicha to carry Purim, carry the Kabbalah of Kimu Mashikib L'Kvar, and live a life of Purim every single moment of our life. Because Hashem, to a zoicha, mamish to the Yom Shekula Shabbos, the Yom Shekula Purim, the Shekula Yom Kippur, because those Yom Tov will still be with us, which means there's going to be a connection to them always, Bez Hashem. Zoicha to be one with Hashem every moment of our life.